I guess we know it's cold outside because I'm speaking again. So it's kind of how that works. Yesterday, I was at a volleyball game. Our granddaughter, who lives in Walcott's team, was playing in town over here at the old Seven Flags, the event center, in volleyball. So we went there. That was a lot of fun. Set by a guy, just how it happened. We were talking Jesus for about an hour. He kept showing me his phone, and what do you think of this scripture, Pat? And back and forth in between games for about an hour. And he was telling me about his walk to holiness. A little bit of what we're going to get in today is going to be on that. But that whole day reminded me, I used to own a sports facility very similar to that. It wasn't volleyball. It was mainly indoor soccer and basketball and stuff. But that's where Cheryl is right now. I dropped her off at 8 o'clock. The parking lot was completely packed. I used to struggle with that on a Sunday. We in the wintertime, for indoor soccer, I had two indoor soccer fields. We would be booked from 6 in the morning to 10 at night. I mean, just boom, boom, boom. And I used to think, Lord, you know, what do you think about that? The guy who owned the building was a heart surgeon from Las Cruces. And one day his attorney showed up at my door and said, hey, Pat, the doctor sold the building. You got 30 days to get out. So I guess that answered that question, what God thought about that. And it happened to be that in the summertime, I'd taken a line of credit out, a little over $70,000 to put an air conditioner on. So the income left, but the debt stayed. And I remember thinking that the doctor was a good guy. He was a Christian. I can't blame him he made a lot of money selling his building. But should I fight that in court? And you know, the Apostle Paul said, you are already defeated, for one brother takes another brother to court. Wouldn't it be better just to be wronged? And so I took that. It was just a step in my walk with the Lord to have faith, because I was like, Lord, I think I'm going to go bankrupt. You know, all of a sudden one day you lost your income, but you kept your debt. And he took me through that, praise God. Looking back, I wouldn't change a thing. So today, when I got a phone call from Apostle Keith yesterday, and because of the weather, he had asked if I could put something together. And I had been working on kind of a series, if you will, but through the book of Revelation. And I said, oh yeah, I can jump into that. And then Cheryl came and she said, Pat, do you always have to teach on something so controversial? And we had been discussing in the morning a lot of scriptures on answered prayer, which I think there's probably a lot of people in this room ask that question too. And we had gone back and forth. She said, why don't you do a little bit of a teaching on that? It's going to be a simple message. It's not going to be anything new. But I think if we look at some of these scriptures and reapply them to our lives, it's going to help a little bit. I pray it does. I want the same thing. So as a hindrance to blocking answers to our prayer, I started with how to alleviate some things. 2 Corinthians 13 and 5 says, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. 1 Corinthians 11, 31 says, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. One of the keys of answered prayer deals in the area of unforgiveness. And that includes ourselves too, but unforgiveness for others, but unforgiveness for ourselves. Unforgiveness causes bitterness and resentment. And if you have it against yourself, it will harbor a guilt complex. The scripture is telling us that we have the ability of, if something keeps reminding your head, to bind and to loose. So if you're being reminded of something like that, of a guilt complex, Matthew 16 and 19 says, "And I'll give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." You've got that ability. So many of these things, when we cover a topic, are really going to come back to the area of faith. Do you actually believe what is written? And when we don't completely, it is a hindrance to our prayers. When we do, kind of expedites your prayers. John 20:23 says, "Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted to them, and whosoever sins you retained, they are retained." Our forgiveness from God is in proportion to our forgiveness to our fellow man. So if you retain, if someone has wounded you, hurt you or something, and you retain that sin, then Matthew 7:2 applies. "For with what the judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you met, it shall be measured to you again." That's why Cheryl and I, when the Lord gets us up in the morning, we're sitting there, and my prayer would be, "Lord, just wipe the slate clean. I don't want anything there that you are then obligated to judge me the same way. Bless them, Lord. Wipe it clean. Whatever it was, it's in the past." And there is health from forgiveness. Psalms 32, 1 through 5 says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputes not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into drought of summer." Finishes that sentence in your Bible, and it uses that word Selah. He says, think about this. Think about this. Is there something you're going through? Examine yourself. Is there someone that you are holding unforgiveness against? So he says, "I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity have I not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." And again, it puts that Selah. Think about that. I'm giving you a principle of how to get free from something that is affecting you physically. Another thing that we would look at is obedience. Romans 14:22 says, "Have you faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he that condemns not himself in that which he allows." So it's not always just something that we do, but it's something that we may just allow in our lives. God's saying, don't do this. Have some obedience. Spiritual forces are at work against us. The Lord is teaching us how to fight this fight. One of those in obedience is the Lord's commandment. Mark 12, 30 through 31. "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." So the Lord gave us a principle right there. Another thing that a term is used is indolence, which is kind of means habitual laziness or sloth. The Lord is watching what we are doing. Sometimes the good that you know you should do and don't do it, the Lord sees that also. I will say over this body right here, I'm very pleased. The people here really seem to step out. And it's amazing sometimes the things I see. James 4:17 says, "Therefore to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin." Another thing we look at in our lives is images or cursed things. Do we let any of those in our lives? Maybe you have a druid image or a, African pottery that may be beautiful in your home, but maybe it was used for a pagan sacrifice or some things we don't always think about. Dream catchers, for example. You see them in rearview mirrors from cars all over the place, but Deuteronomy 7, 25 and 26 says, "The graven images of their God shall you burn with fire. You shall not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it to you, lest you be snared therein. For it is an abomination to the Lord your God. Neither shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest you be cursed, lest you be a cursed thing like it. But you shall utterly detest it, and you shall utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing." And I've talked to people or seen on television other pastors and stuff that maybe went overseas or something and brought something home they thought was beautiful, and things started happening in their home, and through prayer or through, it was revealed to them, hey, this is in your house. Kind of like Achan, you know, that he coveted the silver and stuff, and it brought a curse on all of Israel. So in Joshua 7. Another thing that we should be looking at that could hinder our prayers is honoring your parents. Deuteronomy 5:16 says, "Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with you in the land which the Lord your God gives you." It is important to the Lord, why he put it in our Ten Commandments. There's a scripture, I don't know, what is it, Psalms 27 or something, but it talks about that if you get to the point of dishonoring your parents, that your light will go out in time of darkness or in time of need. You just are setting yourself up. There's a time's going to come. Hate is a destructive force. So is self-pity. Hate is the opposite of love, which is a creative force. Condemnation, and I'd put that hate, one of the things that hurts our prayers, sometimes that goes hand in hand with our parents. Maybe there's a wound or something that happened. Maybe justified in your feelings towards that individual. But the Lord, you know, he says to even love our enemies. How much more so are parents that brought you in? God chose your parents in the place and the time. So these are just things that if we don't do it right, if we don't get over it, and we're asking, Lord, why aren't you hearing me? And he's speaking back to us. He says, hey, I love you. This is how you got to do things. Condemnation. John 3:17 says, "For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." So here's that faith thing again that you got to apply to condemnation. When you have condemnation on yourself or someone put it on you, in a way, by faith, you're not agreeing with the atonement Jesus Christ gave you. And this is why it is something that can hinder our prayers. Romans 8:8 says, "Those in the flesh cannot please God." That's why I read Romans 8:1, "For there is no condemnation to them which in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." So the Bible tells us to put off the old man and his deeds, then bury it. Leave it there by faith. You are forgiven. Don't let it keep coming up and hurting you twice. By faith, believe what the Word says. Insecurity. That is something. Sometimes the things that we see, we feel like we are the victim, and you very well may be, but if we harbor onto these things, there are things that will hinder our prayer life. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you." Some of us are stressed out to the max. Things have happened. Like what happened when they told me to get out. I said, you know, man, I had about $500,000 of equipment and scoreboards and ovens and a kitchen and all. And I was like, what am I going to do? I mean, 30 days, are you kidding me? But trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Whatever we are going through, you know, we ask God many times to open doors and to shut doors. Sometimes that door that needs to be open, you got to walk down a path that you don't want to walk, or you wouldn't walk it in the natural. Trust the Lord. Trust him in this. He loves you. Yeah? He gave his life for us. Prejudice. 1 John 2:9 through 11. He that says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness, even until now. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knows not where he goes, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. This is why the Lord even tells us to love your enemies. You're going to get yourself in trouble. Doubt and unbelief. That produces anxiety because it is the opposite of trust. A prayer of doubt negates a prayer of faith. That kind of fit a little bit what Lincoln just gave us a word on, that, you know, however you speak it, good or bad, both is true. So we want to believe God and believe that he loves you, believe that he thinks you are so worthy and so precious. James 5:15 says, and the prayer of faith shall save or heal the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. James 1:6 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. When you say your prayer, believe it. So often, if you think of it this way, that the Lord has created in the heavens angels to assist you. What's it say in 103? The holy angels, those who hearken to the word of God, bring it forward. So they are there to do something, and one minute we're praying a prayer to bring it forward. The next second we see with our eyes, oh, this don't look good, and we're sending them back. So he says, you know, your prayers won't be answered. You're like the waves of the sea, back and forth, back and forth. That's not pleasing to God. Without faith, you cannot please him. Mark 16:16 through 18. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow him that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Boy, I'm speaking that over this place right here. Praise God. This is the place we've been praying in our intercessory prayers on Thursday, that Lord, send them. Send them from all over the world, that someone's going to hear that, hey, there's this place in Des Moines, Iowa, where this guy Jesus will heal you. Hallelujah. We believe that. Trust. Trust. Proverbs 3:5-7 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. When I first got saved, became a Christian, I cannot tell you how many times I'd be in my health club talking about things, and I got involved with Bob Larson's ministry, which is a deliverance ministry, and so I'd ask people questions, because in the beginning, I didn't even know if demons were real. And one after another, people, some I hardly ever didn't know, came and quoted this scripture to me. Dad, I got a word for you. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. I'm telling you, if you get into a deliverance session and you're trusting in yourself, you're going to get smacked around. You're going to learn lessons the hard way. But Jesus, who loves you, he is our deliverer. He is the Lord that delivereth you. Praise God. An evil heart of unbelief. Hebrews 3:12 says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Hebrews 4:6 says, "Seeking, therefore, it remains that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief." Matthew 8:13, "And Jesus said to the centurion, 'Go your way, as you have believed, so be it done to you.' And his servant was healed at the selfsame hour." And we remember that story in our Bible about the centurion who asked Jesus to heal his servant. But the centurion said, "You know, hey, I'm not even worthy to have you come into my home, but just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." And that's what the Lord said, "I have not seen so much faith." What does the Lord tell us over and over in his scripture? "According to your faith, be it done unto you." He didn't even think that he had to come lay hands on him. He just said, "Hey, you don't even need to come into my house. Just you, Jesus, you just speak the word and my servant will be healed." Hallelujah. It's the same today. Isn't that in his word? Praise the Lord. Let's get that in us. Unrepented sin. Flagrant sin is one of life in one's life festers in the soul. There is a difference between willful acts and weakness. Weakness and shortcomings make overcomers. Scripture says that a righteous man falls down seven times but gets back up. It is the wicked that falls into mischief, those unbelievers. God didn't expect anyone in here to be a perfect person, but he does expect us to get back up when we fall short. Psalm 66:18 says, "If I regard," or this is how sin separates us from God, hinders our prayers. Psalm 66:18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Isaiah 59:1-2, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you that he will not hear." So all he is telling us over and over, repent. Confess it. Get it under the blood. That's why he did it. He wants to bless you. He said his plans for you are not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. He wants to do it. My children, here's some ingredients on how to get answered prayer. I want to bless you. Genesis 4:7, "If you do well, shall you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door, and you shall rule over him." You know, the English Standard Version Bible, when I first saw that, used to be, when I first got saved, I was going through the Bible, and I'd always pick up a different, you know, the NIV or something. And sometimes you find something, they put it a little different. But this particular scripture, the English Standard Version said, "If you do not do well, sin is a demon lying at your door." And I was like, wow, that is interesting. Because I know the Apostle Paul said in Romans 7, "I don't do what I want to do, and I don't do the things that I do want to do. So I know it's no longer I doing it, but sin inside of me." So if you look at it as a physical noun or as a demon, you've opened a door for something that's there whose job it is to steal, kill, and destroy. And he recognized that too. But we have got provision through our Jesus. Put those things under the blood. Get it out of us. Give it out to those we love. Another thing that the Lord gave us, I almost didn't want to put this in there, but it was under the caption of praying correctly, because sometimes I think, you know, maybe one of the best prayers you'll ever say to the Lord is, "Help!" You know, there's not necessarily a protocol to it. But he did give us some guidelines. Philippians 4:6. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication." Supplication is to be humble, to be earnest. "With thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Ephesians 5, 20 and 21. This will come up again. Giving thanks always for all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves to one to another in the fear of God. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. When you get down on your knees or when you're praying, rejoice, be happy, even in the things. Give thanks to your Father in heaven, for he loves you. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4, another thing to look at. I exhort you, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, praise God. So those are just some things to consider. Be joyful. Pray. He wants you to pray to him. Thank him. We all have things that we can thank him for, even in our darkest hour. There are things that we can thank him for. He also says to pray using the word of God. Jeremiah 1 and 12 said, Then said the Lord to me, You have seen well, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Isaiah 55 and 11, So shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it. In that Bible that you got in front of me is the word of God, and he is watching over it to see that it is performed. Hosea 14 and 2. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say to him, Take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So we will render, my King James says, the calves of our lips. But that calves could be interpreted as the sacrifices of our lips. He even tells us, you know, in the Psalms to give a sacrifice of praise. That's how he looks at that. So speak it out. John 15, 7, If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done to you. So there's a thing that we do when we are seeking answered prayer. The care of the temple of God. So one of the things is ignoring the physical laws of cause and effect. God does not set that aside. So what would that would be? If I wanted to live on a bowl of sugar and wash it down with a grape soda every day in my life, the laws of cause and effect in my human body will eventually take place and things will get torn down. So he's asking us to use some common sense. Luke 21, 24, And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, the act of indulging or feeding to excess, and drunkenness, and cares of this life, so that the day comes upon you unawares. Romans 12, 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Proverbs 23, 1 through 3. When you sit to eat with the ruler, consider diligently what is before you, and put a knife to your throat if you be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. So those things, you got to look at a couple different ways, because the Lord is also not wanting to put condemnation. And all of us that grow older, we know that our metabolism wasn't what it was at 16, and things just aren't the same. But what he is saying is that use a little common sense here. Take care of yourselves. You know, go for a walk or do something like that. Do things in moderation. Mark 7 says that, so this would be the other side of that. Because he says, that which comes out of the man that defiles the man, for from inside out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts and adulteries, fornications and murders, and it goes on a little bit. So what he's trying to tell him, you know, they had approached Jesus about washing before and things. He's saying, hey, it's not what defiles the man, what you put in your body, but it's what's in your heart that comes back out. So let's put those two together. Let's have proper nutrition, proper amount of exercise, but really let's make sure that our hearts are pure for good health. It doesn't necessarily mean your girth, whether you're healthy or not. I can tell you from having health clubs, some of the most unhealthy people on the planet are some of these bodybuilders. I had some of them who told me in their own lips, I know that I'll never make it to 70, but I'll look good until I die. And I tell them, I said, yeah, you might change your mind when you're 69, though. So, Proverbs 105:15. Let me see. Okay, this is having to do with touching God's anointed. Psalms 105:15, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. That was a scripture. When I first got into deliverance ministry and we had all these man-made rules, you know, people did it, you know, well, a demon won't cross a bloodline and, you know, you can't speak in tongues if you're doing deliverance. And I'd get some guy, you know, he would manifest and he looks like he's going to take my head off. And well, I lay down a bloodline. And he steps right over it, and you're like, okay, now what? So when I found this scripture, I said, hallelujah. It said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. I said, okay, Lord, am I your anointed? So I found 1 John 2:20. But you have an anointing for the Holy One, and you know all things. One time I was doing a deliverance, and he's a young man, and he manifested it. It came up, and he called himself Bloodlust. And he challenged me. He said, oh, you're not strong enough. And I said, oh, that's the same thing. Okay, now what do we do? You know, this wasn't in the cast them out, and they'll come out with a word. This wasn't part of that. He wanted to hurt me. But what I did, I took the word of God, and I quoted there in the 108th Psalm that deliverance by man is a vain thing, but with God's help, he will put all our enemies under our feet. And I stared him in the eye and I said that. And I said, this one says that the blood of Jesus is not enough. As soon as I said that, he dropped down to his knees and bloodlust come out of him. And that young man was there, was praising God. He said, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. In a split second, it came out of there. God was having no part of that. 1 Thessalonians 5:12-13. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace amongst yourself. That's how God wants us to be one with each other here. He's put some people into some positions. And I can tell you, if you're a pastor of a church or something, you got a lot of things coming against you. They could take some prayer and everything. And so could everyone here. Let's pray for one another because the days are evil. We know that. But guess what? We've already won this. We've already won this. Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. So these good things that you are doing, it's being recorded. God knows it. May not see it here on planet Earth, but when you get before the King, you'll be so glad that you did. And then again, I will say some things about this place. There's a lot of good people in this place. Praise the Lord. Yes. Fear, it's the opposite of faith and cancels the effects of prayer. Psalms 56:4 says, in God I will praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 1 John 4:18, there's another scripture I used one time. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that is that fears is not made perfect in love. So you can look at that fear equals sin, which equals a demon coming against you. One time, Bob Larson, and it was out of town, and I said, I'll go with you, and I was just helping him. Actually, I was just holding his camera as he did a deliverance session. It was one of those nights that it took a long time. It was in Albuquerque. Majority of the people there were Native Americans, but it finally got going, and at the end of it, Bob had said, okay, I got some people here. If anyone needs additional prayer, they just had to stand in the back of the room. You can come up and for prayer. And this woman came up, and behind her, you know, there was a young man and another man. And she said, can you pray for my husband? He has a spirit of fear. And I said, oh, for sure. Well, finally, they bring the husband up. And I've never seen before. This man was scared of everything. He was scared of credit cards. You name it, he had a spirit of fear on him, so much so that he almost was unproductive in society. And the young man with him was his son. And because it had taken Bob Larson so long to get things to go, if you've ever been to one of his place, you know, eventually someone's going to manifest and it'll be dramatic. But this was one of those nights that it just wasn't going too good. But that guy came up, and so I just quoted what scriptures I knew. You know, God has not given you a spirit of fear, blah, blah, blah. Perfect love cast out all fear. And that man fell on me. Blah! And it just starts coming out, and he's screaming and stuff. And I'm like, wow. And pretty soon Bob comes over, and he's like, Pat, how did you do that? I didn't do anything. Behind me, there was some grandmas praying. Let me tell you, there was some juice there. And that guy got all set free. And the son was there. And I said, well, do you want pray for? No way. You're not doing nothing to me. But praise God. The Lord delivered him. And in all of this, what it shows me, it's happened more than once, that it's not Bob Larson. It's not the minister. It's Jesus Christ. It's always Jesus Christ. Yes. Psalms 56:4, in God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. Another thing that hinders prayer is robbing God of his tithes. Oh, here's one we don't like to hear. Malachi 3:10. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there be meat in my house, and prove me now, here. Herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I've heard oftentimes, because, you know, we don't always like to hear that, but if we could grasp that, we'll say, well, in the New Testament, that doesn't apply. Except Matthew 23:23 says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matter of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. So I'll give that to you. That is what Jesus is after, judgment, mercy, and faith. But he didn't end it there, though, did he? These ought to you have done, and not to leave the other undone. So the tithe was never done away in the New Testament. He just added to it. Jesus did a lot of that. He did that with the woman caught in adultery. He raised the bar. Now he says in the New Testament, hey, you even look at a woman lustfully, you're guilty of adultery. So he raised the bar. Here he's doing the same thing. He added to it. Yes, I don't want you to just tithe and then think, well, that's it. I've done my will. He said, no, have judgment, have mercy, care for people. These are the things I desire. Don't leave the other undone, but do this also. Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you met with it, it shall be measured to you again. It seems to me, going through a lot of these scriptures, that your Father in heaven is, he is watching you. He is looking for ways to bless you. He is just watching. Boy, if they would just get this, I want to bless them. Trust him. It says to examine ourselves before communion. That is something that can block and blocks a lot. It says, when criticizing brethren in Christ, one is not discerning the Lord's body, the church. This is the most subtle sin, causes disease and unhappiness more than anything in the church. Scripture, Galatians 9:28 says, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another, but let us, the next scripture, Hebrews 12:24, but let us consider one another to provoke to love and to good works. The man I was sitting by yesterday there at the volleyball game, and I gave him an example because he kept, what do you think of this scripture and stuff like this, and seemed like maybe he was very works-oriented, but praise God. You know, he loved the Lord and was seeking personal holiness. But he was kind of asking me about I guess maybe accumulating things like that. And I said, you know, it's interesting to me that if my son built a brand new house, biggest house on the block, I would be saying, oh, I'm so proud of my son. He built this beautiful house. He worked so hard. He deserves it. Praise the Lord that my son has such a beautiful house. But on the same street, my neighbor next to me built a great big house, and I get up in the morning, and I'm resentful. Oh, he thinks he's so great. His house is so big, and he's got a brand new car in his driveway. Oh, that snob. I said, well, what's the difference? God wants us to look at both of them. Get up and say, praise God that he's blessed you. He's blessed you for that. He approached me, and he was struggling a little bit with even being at the volleyball game. And he said, well, what do you think, you know, because we're supposed to put off the old man and his deeds, and, you know, I want to walk in personal holiness. I don't even know if I should be here. And I said, you know, my granddaughter's playing in this volleyball game. It means a lot for her to have her grandparents coming and watching her play volleyball. I said, the Lord says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. I am sure that Jesus Christ would be here today cheering his children on and the thing that he gave to them to do. So, Jesus equates faith with belief. Let us be bold in what we pray. Hold fast to his promises. Luke 1:45 says, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which are told her from the Lord. You know, Mary was blessed when she believed. What was it? Zechariah or John the Baptist's father, that he... you know, his mouth was closed because he couldn't believe it. So the Lord wants us to be bold and believing in his word. Romans 4:21, and being fully persuaded that when he had promised, he was able also to perform. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. One thing that we hear praying a lot of times, if it be thy will. I've had people tell me that, if that be God's will, you know, what am I to do? I'm not going to pray about it. Yet they're the same person that calls me when they're in the hospital. I said, well, maybe it's God's will. But the thing of it is, If it be thy will was never said in the Bible in relation to a healing or answer to prayer, but only in prayer of commitment that our Lord did to his sacrifice. Luke 22:42 says, saying, Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Mark 14:36 said, and he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. So I started this off because of a man at a volleyball game was telling me about his journey to personal holiness. And he was a good guy. I really enjoyed our conversation. You know, we talked for an hour at a volleyball game. But there was a time in my life, and you know, I don't know if it was a vision or if it was a dream, and I've told people about this, but it was like I woke up in a completely dark room. Couldn't see my hands in front of my face. And I was on all fours. And I'm looking around, and then all of a sudden, I see a reflection. And it looked like it was a black mirror. Like I'm looking in a black mirror, and I'm like, what am I seeing there? And pretty soon, the walls around me, because everything's pitch black, but I could tell that they're moving. And then as my eyes got a little bit better accustomed to the dark, I could see that I was not looking at a black mirror. I was looking into a huge eye of a huge snake. And he was staring at me. And the walls were its body, and it was getting tighter and tighter. And I was like, oh, I'm in a bad spot here. Lord Jesus, I need some help here. I need some help. I don't know what to do. It was so powerful, it had been useless to even resist. I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. And in the complete darkness of the situation, up in the sky, there was, it's like it was made out of light, like a fluorescent, but it was like a butcher's knife, you know, they're like the rectangle with the handle on it, big butcher's knife. And it was up in the sky. And all of a sudden, you know, I was like, Lord, I need some help. And that butcher's knife come down and bam, hit the ground. And the snake's body and everything bounced up in the air with it. And he chopped that head off that snake. And then his body rolled over. And what was there all along, which I couldn't see, was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was standing there, and he said these words as he quoted 12:24. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. I said, wow, that is powerful, Lord. You were there all along, but I couldn't see you. So it's something, when I take it to heart when a man sits next to me and his whole thing is about holiness. And I was given that vision that it's about holiness. And it's these things that he's given us, these, I don't know, guidelines, if you will, on how to reach the Lord. You know, as David said, Lord, Lord, teach me your ways so I may know you better. So I pray that these things we went over today are some things that help us. I'm sure everyone here probably knows them, have gone over them, but let it just be a reminder for our prayers that they get answered. And with that, I just have that one song. It's a song that I just pray over this place. I think it'd be awesome.
Jesus of Nazareth, my friend has been paralyzed since childhood.
Tear off the roof, the king's in the house. Just get me to Jesus, I don't care how. I don't have to wait to get the healing. I got a faith without a ceiling. So tear off the roof, 'cause the king's in the house. There's power in the presence.
More in the hymn of his calling than the camp of the enemy. Faith has made you well.
Praise God. Faith. Praise God. To all of you here, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May He turn His countenance towards you and be gracious to you. May He turn and look at you and give you peace. Be blessed, each and every one of you. Amen. That's it. Mm.